I'm coming to Purdue, and the reason for that is because of the topic of a book that I wrote that came out in 2004 called The Medici Effect. And in that book, I essentially say that we have the best chance of developing groundbreaking ideas when we combine ideas from different fields, disciplines, industries, and cultures. It is at these intersections of different disciplines and cultures that we have the best chance of breaking new ground. And so there's all kinds of examples of this. One of my favorite ones is an architect that looks at gets a particular challenge, which is to build a new building in Zimbabwe. But this building is to contain no air conditioning, which is tricky because it can occasionally get hot in Zimbabwe. And he manages to do so by looking at how termites build their mounds on the African savanna. And so he combines essentially the ecology of termites with the field of architecture, and he creates this building. It's a fantastic building, uses no air conditioning, and uses 90% less energy than any other building around it. It was just at a temperature of about 72 degrees Fahrenheit. And so I look at these types of ideas, and I do so here because this is the approach where the which is what the Discovery Institute at Purdue has taken. They want to combine ideas from different disciplines, different fields, to create great new innovations.
What got you started thinking about, you know, combining different disciplines and applying them toward innovation?
You know, it's a great question because I think it's always been part of how I've led my life. I mean, I grew up in the midst of different cultures. My mother is black and Cherokee, and my dad is Swedish. I grew up in Sweden, and it's always been sort of a mix of different cultures, whether it's been American or Swedish or from different ethnicities. So I always saw what happened when ideas came together from different cultures. And I think that also spilled into how I thought about my own education. When I went to college, I went there thinking I was going to be a fiction writer. I'd written a book in high school, but then once I got there, I started studying physics. I ultimately ended up majoring in environmental science, which was about bringing together all kinds of different disciplines. After that, I started a healthcare company, and then I started a software company. So in my life, essentially, I'd covered a number of different industries, and I saw, just as was the case with the different cultures, I saw that whenever I was able to combine ideas from these different industries, so from these different disciplines, I had a better chance of ultimately creating something interesting, something new. And that was what I think turned me on to it. I wanted to see if this was the case, generally speaking, if this was the case for other people all over the world, essentially. And so I started to investigate it. I started to research that.
What do you think you want people to take away from your lecture? You know, do you just want them to kind of start looking at things a different way, or is there another motivation to it?
Well, there's several things. Yes, definitely. I want them to start thinking about their own, what it is that they know, their network, their colleagues, and so on, and realize that our tendency is to always connect with people that we know, to go and gain information from fields that we've studied, because it's comfortable. There's nothing strange about it. In the book, I talk about the similar attraction effect. We're attracted to ideas and concepts and people who are sort of similar to ourselves. And so in this talk, what I want people to do is open themselves up to exploring other fields, other industries, other disciplines, other cultures, and in doing so, trying to create ideas that connect with what they're passionate about, because then they maximize the chance. They've dramatically increased the chance of finding something different, finding something really exciting. So that's the first part. And the second part is I really want to inspire people to actually go and do something about it. I mean, once they've discovered an idea like this, and at this talk, I'm going to not just show how to do that, but the audience itself will go through a few examples of actually doing it in the midst of the talk, and I want them to be inspired to actually go and make these ideas happen. I have all kinds of examples of how we tend to think about grand innovations, and we think there's no way we could possibly do that. It's just this big idea, and the idea seems to be way too large for any sort of normal person to pursue. But when you actually look at how these ideas started, you'll see that they always started small. There was always something small that was accessible to almost anybody. And you're going to see how this plays out, where it has to do with ideas like Wikipedia, which seems was one of the most successful online projects in the world, or ICE, the ICE Hotel, which seems like the most unlikeliest idea in the world. They all started with something smaller, something that was much more accessible. So those are the two goals. I want people to explore ideas outside of their own domains of expertise and comfort, and I want them to do something about it when they hit upon an idea.
Some of the sort of innovative ideas you've had in your life, has it ever been a problem for you, or has it been difficult for you to convert those into real-world applications, or has that been sort of just natural for you?
Well, I mean, I think my instinct has always been to start doing something. If I have an idea for a book or a magazine, or if it's for a company, or for a particular type of project, it's always been, I want to get started on that. So that has always been there. But they haven't always succeeded. So main things always started, but that doesn't mean that it's always been successful. I think a hugely important piece around a message that I want to give at this talk, those people that we think of as the most successful, as the most brilliant, also have the most failures. I mentioned Picasso. He made over 50,000 works of art in his life. 50,000, that's more than any other artist in history. He is exceptionally prolific. But he was also the artist that had the most crappy pieces of artwork. I mean, most of his art were collecting dust in basements around the world because they were bad. I mean, they were just genuinely bad. And that's something we forget about somebody like Picasso. We think he's brilliant and everything he does has to be brilliant. It's not true. Most of the stuff he did not work out. And that is the case over and over again when you talk about people like Richard Branson, you know, from Virgin, the Virgin Empire, or Einstein or whatever, you will find that they have all these failures. And I think that has been true in my own life. In other words, not that I'm comparing myself to them, but simply that I come up with ideas, I want to get them started, and some of them worked really well, others haven't.
So part of the message is definitely to get people to step outside of their comfort zone and maybe take a risk to further an innovative idea that they might have.
Yeah, I mean, taking a risk is one way of looking at it, and certainly that's the way people think about it often. But there's another piece to that, which is that in the world as it exists today, which is very, very fast-changing, where new industries are created almost seemingly overnight, and where old industries are changing dramatically, to actually find ideas this way, at the intersection of different disciplines and industries and cultures, to find ideas that way and to pursue those ideas is actually, in a way, what you're doing is you're decreasing the risks within your life, because if you don't do that, you might be at risk of something worse happening, of the job that you had or that you thought you had actually disappearing. And the message I want to give is that you have knowledge, you have insights, you have an experience, and if you can just apply that in a somewhat different way by looking at connections from another discipline or field or industry, that you have a chance of breaking out of that and creating something new. And that's going to be increasingly more important as we move forward.
Earlier you mentioned the example of the architect in Zimbabwe. Yeah. I was wondering if there are any other sort of interesting examples that you can think of.
Oh, well, I'm going to go through tons of them during my talk. I'll mention a few others that I think are really interesting. There is... the one that I mentioned with the architects and the terminus has to do with different fields. Here's one that has to do with people from different cultures. You had a woman named Ahida Sanetti. So she's a Lebanese woman, a traditional Muslim woman, who moves to Australia. And she realizes that, on the Australian beach, most women go swimming in bikinis. Well, that doesn't really work for a traditional Muslim woman. And essentially they wear something like a burqa or something similar, like a hijab or something like that. And so essentially that means that most of them end up, you know, not going swimming. And so she decides to combine her culture with the Australian beach culture, and she combines essentially a burqa and a bikini, and she creates the burkini, which is a dress that sort of covers a woman from head to toe, but in a bikini material and cut. And just a second's reflection would illustrate that there could be great market for this. And in fact, her company has grown by leaps and bounds all over the world. The market has been the whole world. And not just, by the way, surprisingly, Muslim women. It turns out that women from all kinds of backgrounds, from all over the world, have been interested in this and been buying it. It's a fascinating example because it seems so obvious when you look at it. You can look at this burkini and go, wait a minute, why didn't anybody think about this before? And that's almost always the case, though, with innovative ideas. I mean, they seem obvious after the fact. And that's just one of them. Over and over again, I will show lots of examples. What happens when you combine something like cement and optical fibers? What happens if you combine candy and computers? What happens if you combine sleeping beds and ice? So Martin Luther King and techno music. In this talk, I'm going to go through lots of those types of combinations. And you'll find really fascinating new ideas that come out of them.
Are you excited to come give it at Purdue?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I had a conversation with some of the folks at the university earlier this week. And I was saying that this is what got me started. I mean, the first idea for this way of thinking actually was created while I was in college at Brown University, where I saw that there were a lot of different scientific researchers at this campus, but I never really felt that they were able to connect the purpose of the research with each other, or that they were able to connect the science and the humanities. And so I created a magazine for that purpose called The Catalyst, and it filled a really needed gap. It's still very much a magazine on this campus. It's, you know, connecting people from different backgrounds. And so my heart is in this. This is where it all started. I'm very excited about seeing how that has played out in Purdue, and how you know, students, grad students, faculty, and the community at large can interact to provide new ideas and drive new research.